hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be
good evening, everyone. We thank God for another Saturday, the first one for October, the 10th month. And we are there in the last quarter of the year, 2022. It's always a privilege to come your way on Saturdays. There's been a little change in our schedules in the station. So it's from now, that's 8 to 9 p.m. So it was a 60-minute program now, but it's still going to be packed and loaded, as it's always been. I'm Eben. I'm going to be with you. And tonight we'll be continuing what we started last 2 weeks. I believe we can go through that. First, we'll be looking at the news, events, the things happening in the world, some relative to what the Bible says and all that. Basically, you know, if you've been listening to this program for some time now, it's more of also to prepare you for the times, not only in the times we are in, but the times ahead. The times ahead, let me put it that way. You know, because there's so much, you know, anxiety, fear, worry, despair, uncertainties, and all that. But as believers, we should understand these things from the biblical point of view, so that, you know, we are not caught off guard when some things begin to happen and we start to see some things and all that. Because these are the very same things that will be causing people to leave the faith. And it's already happening. People are already leaving the faith. I mean, their love growing cold. This whole thing started right from COVID. And, you know, for a lot of pastors, they will really testify and tell you that the church has not been the same after COVID. You know, some churches, their numbers have still not reached their pre-COVID number levels. And some are still struggling to have where they used to be in terms of the numbers and all. So the reality is that these things shake the system. It shakes people's faith. It shakes people's beliefs and all that. And it's just the beginning. We are going to see more. I mean, so that's why for listeners of this program, we keep talking about these things, encouraging ourselves, warn ourselves and all that. So that's the essence of it. It's good to be informed. And I believe, from the biblical point of view, that's the best we can do as Christians. So God bless you for tuning in. Greetings to listeners outside, wherever we are, you are, outside the region, outside the country. Thank you for tuning in. All right, this week has been really busy and packed with very serious and sensitive things happening at the global stage. We'll talk about a few of them. There'll be some headlines, and then there'll be some that'll be the details itself as well. Let me just start with the big one, the U.S., the, you know, hurricane. And I believe a lot of people should have or might have seen it in the news. This headline, they put it this way: once in 500-year flood, hundreds fear dead, thousands trapped, life-changing events. A day after Hurricane Ian made landfall in southwest Florida, as a Category 4 storm, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said Thursday that the storm surge that came with it was basically, quote, basically a 500-year flood event, unquote. We've never seen a flood event like this, he said. And indeed, this really caused a lot of havoc, massive havoc. And we look at, you know, this thing. Russia has been supplying parts of Europe with natural gas. So they have this pipeline under the sea to Germany and all that. And they call it Nord Stream. So there are two pipelines, Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2. But this week, there was some strange sabotage, explosions for these two pipelines. And clearly, this one cannot be a mistake that both of them get blasted and then leaking of gas, millions of, you know, gas leak and all that. And, you know, these things, if you really, because, I mean, you look at it well, now America is blaming it's Russia who did it. The West is also, the European blaming Russia who did it. Russia too is blaming the West. They did it. But at the end of the day, you know, this is going to escalate, you know, this whole thing. One headline, put it this way, Nord Stream sabotage will permanently shift global trade. And, you know, incidentally, it happened when another pipeline from the Scandinavian area was about to be launched. I mean, clearly, it raises a lot of coincidences. But so, you know, this war, I mean, this week I was having a chat with a friend. I was telling him that, you know, this war is not ending anytime soon because the shifting of things and, you know, clearly makes it look like it's going to be a protracted one where there will be a reason why one will have to retaliate for an action that has been taken and all that. And we had this headline, U.S. Embassy is warning Americans to leave Russia immediately. You know, they believe that Americans there, whether dual citizens and all that, can be drafted into the war to fight for Russia. But one article also puts that, well, for you know, there are sometimes some things that you can't say it openly. I mean, they will say it openly, but it just raises a lot of questions. That then, that means something big, well, only they know. But such warnings really send a lot of coded messaging. This headline says, Putin announces annexation of Ukrainian regions in defiance of international law. And this is what happened. Four regions that they've taken over from Ukraine. He signed official documents to declare it as Russian territory. So earlier this week, there was this referendum. They call it a sham referendum because it's like referendum that you have to vote yes by force. I mean, whether to be part of Russia or not. And you have no option to say no. I mean, with military and all. So by force, referendum to annex these people. So officially assigned that now the land belongs to Russia, the parts that they've taken. If you look at the pictures or the satellites, sorry, the map, it looks like maybe about 15% of the land of Ukraine. Yeah, I mean, that's closer to the border of Russia. But it's been condemned by all the Western and others. Even Ghana has said we also won't recognize all that and all. But then, you know, are they going to fight to reclaim those places? And this is where the problem comes because Russia, Putin has said that they would defend those areas they've taken, even with nuclear weapons. And that changes the whole game because America, too, is giving a signal that if they dare use signal nuclear, then they will retaliate. And it's like, I mean, this whole thing, in a way, I mean, it has to, some things have to just happen. So I'll just watch and see. But it's like this unprovoked thing. And like, by all means, they have to escalate the thing. And that's what they seem to be trying to do. I just wish it doesn't go that way. Because when it escalates into nuclear level, it changes the whole thing altogether. So this headline too says, probability of Russia using tactical nuclear weapons is very high, according to Ukraine intelligence chief, as Putin raises the stakes in stakes with annexation. Then the last headline in this aspect says, Putin vows to use any means necessary to defend Ukrainian regions annexed to Russia after largest land grab since World War II. Let's look at this one. It says, Ukraine eyes fast-tracked NATO membership. And this is a big issue because this whole war thing came about because of Ukraine's interest in being a member of NATO. So Russia has been an anti-NATO movement. I mean, sees it as a threat to that, to be that close, having a NATO member along that that wide stretch of border. So that has the whole, that has been the whole foundation for this war. But Ukraine fast-tracking its request for membership, I really doubt they would expedite it anyway, given because that changes the whole game. So Ukraine's bid to fast-track its efforts to join NATO, following Russia's annexation of four more Ukrainian territories, is being met with caution in Brussels and Washington, where top officials are trying to shift the focus to their unwavering support for Kiev. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky posted video to social media Friday that shows him signing a formal bid for an accelerated membership with the Western Alliance. Quote, "De facto, we have already made our way to NATO," unquote, Zelensky said in a statement that accompanied video. Quote, "Again, today Ukraine is applying to make it de jure means to, that's a state of affairs that is in accordance with law." Then goes on to say, but when asked during a briefing whether the alliance would move quickly on the application, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg demurred. Quote, "Our focus now is on providing immediate support to Ukraine to help Ukraine defend itself against the Russian brutal invasion," unquote, Stoltenberg told reporters. "That is the main focus and the main effect of NATO allies as we speak," he added, saying such efforts or such support would be forthcoming for as long as it takes. Officials with NATO and NATO member countries have long said that sovereign nations like Ukraine should have the freedom to seek membership in the alliance. And this past June, Ukraine attended a NATO Heads of State and Government Summit in Madrid. There has been no rush, however, to grant Ukraine full membership. Our view is that the best way for us to support Ukraine is through practical on-the-ground support in Ukraine, and that the process in Brussels should be taken up at different times, White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters on Friday. And that's the issue, because per the Article 5 of the NATO Constitution or whatever they call it, if a member is attacked, a member state is attacked, all members of the NATO alliance are enjoined to help defend that member. So technically, if, let's assume that Ukraine's membership is approved today, that means technically this war now is between Russia and all the NATO members. UK, Germany, France, Spain, Italy, US, Canada. So it's a World War thing. So clearly, and they know it changes the whole game if they approve it. So I really doubt they are going to approve his thing in the fast track we are seeing is demanding. And there was this interesting point on Fox News. Let me just read it. It's just a short one. Put it this way. The headline is, "If Ukraine joins NATO, that means world war." So once more, let's dare to ask a few critical questions. Let's dare to critically think. Why would more sanctions deter Russia? The last 7 months of sanctions have led to blackouts and food shortages in Europe. Meanwhile, in Russia, okay, you should have added, in Africa too, we are suffering because of the same Russia-Ukraine war, as they say. Meanwhile, in Russia, the rubble got stronger. And by the way, our economy tanked. That's referring to the U.S. History has shown, in fact, that from Japan to Syria to Russia, sanctions don't deter. They provoke, and maybe that's the goal. It's the only way to achieve regime change in Russia, which is the stated goal of the Biden administration. Remember, Putin, quote, cannot remain in power, unquote, Biden swears last March. And he means it. In April, Russia and Ukraine had a tentative agreement to end this war. Ukraine could have kept its territory. All they had to do was promise not to become a NATO member because NATO wants to remove Putin from power. But the Biden administration in the UK vetoed that deal. So again, a critical question. Is this really about keeping Ukraine safe, or it is about regime change in Russia? even if that means starting a world war. Today, if there was any doubt left, the president of Ukraine settled that question. He signed Ukraine's expedited application to formally join NATO. It's yet another slick, well-produced video from Kiev. In Ukraine today, if Ukraine joins NATO, that means world war under Article 5 of the NATO Charter. Millions die. Instead of trying to avoid that catastrophe, our media, though, is telling us that essentially inevitable. The New Yorker, for example, just published this assessment. Fiona Hill, an expert on Russia, says that we are already fighting the Third World War, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. Others, like the Pope and other top people, have also said the same. I mean, technically, this whole thing we are seeing is a Third World War that's going on, because it's a proxy war between the West, NATO. I mean, from even the earlier one I read, the NATO sees itself as helping Ukraine to fight against Russia. So it's technically NATO war through a proxy Ukraine against Russia. All the missiles they are using now, that is making them be able to defeat Russia in parts and claim lands and all that. Most this Javelin and all these ones, Javelin missiles and all that they've used successfully against Russia, is provided by America. So you see, this whole thing is America versus Russia largely, but through a proxy. So this, and that's where the dynamics can change suddenly depending on how things go. So that's why, for me, I see it as this thing is not ending anytime soon, because some people also stand to gain. You can trust the West for that. When it comes to these wars, America, you can trust them. When they always have their interest in some of these, the longer the war, the longer some people also make their monies. You know, you can't trust these people. So the bottom line is the world suffers as the world economy is tanking and just things are just not going well, like in Ghana and elsewhere. So, well, some things have to happen for some things to happen for the Bible to be true at the end of the day. So we can only just watch and pray as Christians. All right, so let me just get to this one. This headline says, dozens more Christians killed, many others critically wounded in Nigeria. Oh, Nigeria, every week there's something. Every week there's something. It's really, really sad. You know, continuing attacks earlier this month in Benue State, Nigeria, suspected Fulani herdsmen and other terrorists killed dozens of Christians across. And then they said that these terrorist attacks are predominantly Christian villages in Benue State. Sad. Destroying lives, houses, farms, looting homes for food, according to area residents. These attacks by the herdsmen have left dozens of Christians dead and several more with gunshot injuries and machete attack wounds. Whoa. Area resident Ukan Kuru told Morning Star News in a text message. It's not good. Then Ugandan Christian woman, Ugandan woman killed after attending church, accepting Christ. So this 23-year-old Muslim woman in eastern Uganda who converted to Christianity on September 18th was poisoned to death that night. Namata Habiba, attended a church service on 18th September at the invitation of a friend in Kawakawa village and put her faith in Christ, the friend said. Habiba, who lived with her Muslim stepmother after her parents were killed in a vehicular accident in 2019, returned home from the church service with her friend, and her stepmom asked why she had returned so late. Habiba told her she had attended a church service and converted to Christianity, causing her stepmother, Namu Sawyer, to stop talking to her, according to the friend, whose name is withheld for security reasons. Sawyer prepared and served food for them and then left the room, said the friend, who was fasting that day and did not eat. Whoa. Within minutes, Habiba started complaining of severe stomach pain and began to vomit, the friend said. The friend shouted for Sawyer, but there was no response, she said. Soon neighbors arrived, but Sawyer had disappeared. Habiba's friend reported. They rushed Habiba to the hospital in Bugiri, where a doctor gave her medication, but she soon died. And the friend reports the postmortem said that she was poisoned from ingesting rat's poison. Wow. For being a Christian, choosing to follow Christ, she was killed. Anyway. All right, a quick dash to the U.S. And then that says New Jersey requiring, that's the state's New Jersey, requiring schools to teach middle schoolers about anal sex and pregnancy options. You know, they've decided that they want to destroy the kids, the children, destroy them at any means possible. And education is a very powerful tool. Actually, it's one of the pillars that they are using in this, in the new age, the agenda to, you know, all the things they are doing. Education is one main pillar. So the New Jersey Education Department of Education is imposing sex education standards that require school districts to teach middle school students about anal sex and pregnancy options like abortion or face potential disciplinary action. The State Board of Education approved several changes to the statewide education standards in June 2020, which school districts are required to implement this month under threat of losing state funding. That's always money. They'll just dangle money and say, if you don't lose this, then because there's no money, the school heads have to agree to it. The new standards expect students by the end of grade 8 to be able to describe pregnancy testing, the science of pregnancy, pregnancy options, including parenting, abortion, adoption, and others. Others not worthy of seeing them on radio. It's just worrying. Schools, like JHS grade. Why should that be something that you would want to even teach? It makes no sense. But further down to Cuba, they voted to legalize same-sex marriage and adoption in the new family code. How some countries are falling. It's really unfortunate. Cubans on Sunday voted to approve a new family code that, among other things, legalizes same-sex marriage and adoption. The 100-page code is one of the most progressive in Latin America. Millions of Cubans voted in the referendum on the government-backed proposal that allows same-sex couples to marry and adopt. And that adopt thing, you know, it makes no sense whatsoever. If you want to engage in your lifestyle, okay, so be it. That's up to you. But you claim you are a man-man, woman-woman, and yet you want to live like a normal family system. Who should give birth for you to go and adopt? This world is crazy now. So, to marry and adopt on communist-run island amid a deepening economic crisis. You think of economic crisis, you are thinking of this. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel spoke to journalists after casting his vote, saying that the code abolishes prejudices and taboos that have been ingrained in the Cuban society. Quote, my expectation is that most of the population will vote yes. Díaz-Canel was quoted as saying, according to Reuters agency. But regardless of whether yes or no wins, the popular debate that has been generated has contributed to our society. Cubans aged 16 and above were eligible to vote, and the bill required that 50% of the votes passes. Yeah, so, state media on Monday morning announced that what they said is near complete figures, so suggesting that it's up to 2/3 who voted in favor of the new code. Let's get into some Bible. Romans 1:28. Down to 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. 29. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. This is the key verse, 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And this verse is really serious because you may not be LGBT. Yes, fine. But when you consent to their actions, like in this case, voting to empower them to do it, this verse, Romans 1:32, will be applicable because, in essence, you have pleasure in them that do these things. So you yourself, you say, well, I'm not one. But let's give them the opportunity to do it. So let's help them to do it. In essence, you are empowering them to continue sinning. So to vote for such a thing, even though you may not be practicing it yourself, in the sight of God, you are the same as the people doing it because you have pleasure in them that do them. Because if you don't have pleasure in them that do this thing, you will not vote yes to support it. And that is the danger with some of these things where, oh, you know, the right people, the right, oh, is their right, is their right. So you have people who genuinely are not pro-LGBT per se. Like, they are not LGBT in lifestyle. But they are pro-LGBT in their advocacy and their behavior, their support and all, because they think it's the right thing for them to have their rights to do. Sadly, you have Christians who also be justifying these things, forgetting that Romans 1:32 enjoins that so far as you are part of, you support, you are held liable spiritually by God for being supportive of it. So let's be warned about some of these things. All right, almost done. Last two items, then we are done with the news. This one, it's a research, but these are scientific research works which are a reality. We are already seeing some of it already, so let me just talk about it. There's a 98% chance of a global recession, according to research firm. They are warning. Warning lights are flashing in the global economy as high inflation, drastic rate hikes, and the war in Ukraine take their toll. Hey, as for this war. Oh boy. There is currently a 98.1% chance of a global recession, according to a probability model run by Dan Davis Research. The only other things that recession model was this high, the only other times that recession model was this high has been during severe economic downturns, most recently 2020, and during the global financial crisis 2008 and 2009. Quote, this indicates that the risk of severe global recession is rising for some time in 2023. That's next year. Economist as Ned Davis Research wrote in the last report last Friday. As central banks ramp up their efforts to get inflation under control, economists and investors are growing gloomier. 7 out of 10 economists surveyed by the World Economic Forum consider a global recession at least somewhat likely, according to a report published on Wednesday. Economists dialed back their forecast for growth and expect inflation-adjusted wages to keep falling the rest of this year and next year. But the last one is from the IMF chief, and her statements just echoes what a lot of experts are saying. Not only the experts, but some prophecies are also giving these warnings ahead of time, have been given ahead of time. So she's just echoing some of these sentiments or these statements. Let me just read the headline. IMF chief warns there will be, quote, people on the streets, unquote, globally, unless steps taken to ease inflation. There will be people on the streets globally unless steps are taken to protect the most vulnerable from inflation. International Monetary Fund's IMF chief Kristalina Georgieva warned on Wednesday. Quote, it's important to think that this compounded impact of multiple crises is already testing the patience and resilience of people. And if you don't take action to support the most vulnerable, there would be consequences, unquote, she told CNN's Christian Mampor. Quote again, if we don't bring inflation down, this will hurt the most vulnerable because an explosion of food and energy prices for those that are better off is inconvenience. For the poor people, tragedy. So we think of poor people first when we advocate for attacking inflation forcefully, unquote, Georgieva said. Central banks around the world have no choice but to increase interest rates in an effort to combat inflation, she added. Quote again, fiscal policy, if it goes generously to help everybody, will be actually in the way of monetary policy. It will be the enemy of monetary policy because you increase demand and that pushes the prices again up, and there has to be more tightening, the IMF chief said. The critical question in front of us is to restore conditions for growth, and price stability is a critical condition, she added. Events that have driven price increases, mainly the Omicron variant of COVID-19 and, of course, the Russia invasion of Ukraine, have made inflation today our biggest enemy, the IMF chief told Amanpour. This year, now listen to this statement, quote, this year is tough. Next year, tougher. Why? Because of a shock upon shock upon shock. In just a short 3 years, the pandemic, not yet over, the war, Russia's invasion, pushing energy and food prices up, and then the result is a cost of living crisis, she told CNN. When asked about a rise in support for far-right candidates in the likes of Italy and Sweden, Georgieva said that she is not surprised to see people getting angry. They have been locked in their houses for months and months and months. They see price jumping dramatically. And this is why my appeal to policymakers is be considerate. The IMF chief told Amanpour that events that have driven prices, mainly the Omicron variant of COVID-19 and Russia's invasion of Ukraine, have made inflation today our biggest enemy. There will be people on the streets, she said, if we are not able to protect the sense of survival and the sense of solidarity. This is what is going to happen. This is the IMF chief saying it. And this is, it's not rocket science. I mean, it's just pure economics. Is, I mean, whatever you sow, you reap. The foundation, see, they are able to make these projections because to be able to fix some problems, it takes years. In the case of Ghana, for instance, now, even their own finance minister, our finance minister said this week that before we can get to the position where we can even go back to the capital markets, it will take about 3 years. This week he said it. You see, so the harm that has happened in the world economies, the countries, it's not something that you can just fix within months, within by next year, resolve things. No. Economically, it's not possible. So that's why they can confidently give this stark warning that next year is going to be worse economically for countries than this year. Why are we saying this or talking about this? So that we can be better prepared. I am saying this so that we can be better prepared, so that we can be wise and know how to apply wisdom in what to do, how we manage the little that we have. See, so that we are not caught off guard. Others will just live carelessly as though, well, nothing is happening, nothing is coming, all is well. But when you are forewarned like this, then you can know, as the Spirit guides you, you can know and how to apply wisdom where the need arises. Pastor Roger sent me a message. Let me read regarding this post. Where's his message? Roger, okay, that's it. He said, I'm pondering over what the IMF chief said. These thoughts began to drop. the new lifestyles we have entered into will not help us find it easy to go through the economic crisis looming. Technology has moved us into a new phase of life, and no one wants to back down or back out. I met a lady on my way to a district pastor's mother's week, 1 week. And I met at Medina Reese Junction. She was walking, and then whilst taking selfie with AirPods in the ears, I asked myself, will this lady back down on her lifestyle, or she will do everything to sustain it? You know, this was earlier in the morning when we were chatting, discussing this news. I sent it to him. And that's the issue. You see, a lot of the lifestyles that people have gotten themselves into, they're not ready to back down. They're not ready to adjust downwards. In a bit to sustain it, then that means they have to do anything and everything. And that's where the problems begin to happen for people. Anyway, so let's listen to this beautiful, beautiful song. This week, I've listened to this song no less than 100 times. And I believe I'll use it as the basis to start my main discussion.
Before the throne, to this I hold.
To it autoplay from Wednesday over and over and over again. You know, the words really says it well, what the word of God says. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven, the future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. Through this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free. Yet not I through Christ, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day, I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Beautiful, beautiful lyrics. When the race is complete, can we finish the race? I mean, you see, the race is getting really difficult. I mean, the truth is the truth. The race, the Christian race, is becoming difficult. It has been difficult for some time now, and it's getting difficult, and it's going to get more difficult. And the issue is, can we finish the race? You know, starting, it's so easy to start anything. I mean, I've said this here before, like citing the marathon race, you know, in Accra, you start at Nungwa, the Point Junction. You know, now they call it the, I mean, near the Junction Mall area, those times. And you see several thousands of people, it's like they start shouting and jumping and screaming and running. But not all the thousand plus or the thousands are going to get to Dansomang. That's about 26 point something miles or 42 something kilometers. They'll be trickling in one by one, some collapsing, some sitting at the back of pickup, some in ambulance. It's not everybody who is able to get to the race, the end of the race. The completion is where the whole thing, the reward is. And we can liken it, you know, Paul even likens our Christian race, Christian journey, yes, to a race as well. You know, starting is easy. for some of us, they will say we've been Christians 10 years, 20, 30, 40, whatever, how many years we can attribute ourselves being Christians. Good. We thank God. But the issue is, can we sustain our strength to finish this race? Can we finish it? Because that's where the whole thing, you know, Jesus says that he that endures to the end. That means for there to be endurance, marathon is an endurance race. 10-kilometer races, I mean, 5,000 meters, all those long distances, they are also called endurance, because it's not for the weak-hearted. I mean, if you're, if it's not, you are not strong, you just can't. It's not for the weak-hearted. Endurance race. That means you need to you need stamina to really finish the race. You can start well, but to finish, it takes strategy and endurance. And we liken it to the Christian race. You know, Jesus talks about a lot of things prior to his coming. Matthew 24, there will be wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, diseases, so many things. You'll be hated for my name's sake. You'll be killed. You'll be this. All these things. But he gets to verse 12 and he gives a stark warning, which is a bit chilling, because he just states it as plainly as it is. And that's quite a significant question that we are asking this evening. Is our love growing cold? Because the love of many will grow cold. And even if you really look at the conditions precedent regarding the coldness, we've not even reached that point, because there will be killings. I mean, it's happening in some countries, but not worldwide as it is now. So the many shall be offended, that's verse 10. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. We've not reached there. Here in Ghana, we've not reached there. But some places like North Korea, Iran, Eritrea, and they can find themselves in these type of verses. But we have not reached there yet. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, some says, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. And then the 13, and he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Endurance. Can we endure the times ahead? That is the whole, you know, that's why I've been bringing some of these analysis, the financial analysis, the news reports, UN, Food and Agriculture Organization, the food crisis, the warnings they are giving and all, so that we can appreciate the times we are in and then what is ahead of us. It helps us to also not only prepare physically, emotionally and all, but spiritually too, to be able to be prepared, because these are the same factors that will cause people to lose hope in God, lose faith, I mean, just give up. So it's important we understand the times we are in, so that it will really fortify us to help us to endure the better. These two verses, like I read last week, last 2 weeks, Matthew 24 and 12, verse 12, and then 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. You see, that warning too is very critical, because we are looking at the issue where it says, let no man deceive you. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. By any means, for that day shall not come, referring to the rapture, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A falling away. So there's a falling away that will happen before the rapture. So the love of many will grow cold. There will be a falling away. These are two serious, worrying statements, because, you know, if these are to precede the coming of the Lord, then we are already beginning to see the signals of it. Sadly, it cannot be stopped. You know, you can't stop it. But we can ensure that we save ourselves from fulfilling these scriptures or falling victim to these things. It's not all whose love will wax cold. You didn't say all. You said many. So that means there's an exception. There are some whose love will not wax cold. There's a group who will stand. they are the ones. The next verse says, "He that endures." So that means there are some people who, just like the marathon race, there are some people who can endure and run through all the 42 kilometers, and they get to the point in that summer and they get the award, the rewards, and all that. There are people who can endure, and you see, I'm a crap person, so I see them. Before the, normally they were doing those marathons in September, I believe. Yeah, I think around September they're about those times. But in April, in May, in June, you see them, the routes that they come and pass around my area where is their family house. In these early months, not even at the competition time, you see people running this race, preparing themselves for the main event. So when those people who were able to endure and finish the race do it, they just didn't get up from that their bed that morning and then they were able to endure suddenly. No. There was a level of preparation. They knew there was a difficult thing or time ahead. So they had to prepare themselves ahead of time. That gave them the ability to endure. So we just can't sit idle and do nothing about our spiritual states, our physical states, emotional state, nothing. Just sit down aloof and just be watching the news, listening to the news. Brother Ben says this and this, and just listen and then do nothing about it and expect that we can endure to the end. It doesn't, it's not magic. You have to work at it. We have to build our capacity spiritually. That's the whole essence of the warnings, the admonitions and encouragements and all. It's just to equip us and prepare us and to fortify us for the times. You know, we should ask ourselves, can we stand the cost of living without, the normal, comfortable things we know? Can we stand it? Can we stand when it seems all hope is lost? Can we stand our Christian faith? Can we stand when everyone around us gives up and leaves the faith? Can we continue alone? You know, it's time we stay focused on Jesus. You know, that's why I like the song. The first time is a group, Selah, S-E-L-A-H. That's the group, an old Christian group, but they are still singing. But, you know, this week when I've known them for many, many years, almost 20 years or so. But this week when I saw this song and I was listening to it, it's just, you know, you can resonate that. This is the Christian life they are describing. This is the real Christian life they are describing. And you see, it should be just about Jesus, all about him, nothing more, nothing less. Because as soon as you take yourself out of the equation of all being about Jesus, you cannot finish, you cannot endure, you cannot get to the completion of the race. So in as much as, yes, difficult things are happening, the world economy is just going to get off and off and off. As for Ghana, the indicators are all there, the numbers, the statistics, it's all showing. It's clear. That's so we cannot expect things, some magic wand immediately. No. There's no magic wand that they can produce that would really solve our issues today, tomorrow. No, it can't happen that way. So we just have to brace ourselves and then trust in the Lord. Equip ourselves spiritually. Fortify ourselves in the Lord. Build our faith, build our capacity, so that we are not moved by the circumstances of things that would happen. You know, the issue of the race is so important. It's just so important. Can we finish it? Can we finish it? You know, we've all watched races, long distance races, and we see how some are able to go through smoothly and others too in difficulty. They struggle. But in conclusion, tonight, for those who tune in late, now be ending 9 o'clock, so it's now a 60 minutes program. And let me finish tonight with Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians. All right. So we move from 16 to 9. 18. And, you know, this is a very powerful prayer by Paul, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. We have to be strengthened in our inner man. We have to, because see, if we are weak in our inner man, we'll fall away. Oh yes, we cannot stand. If we are weak in the inner man, we cannot stand. We cannot stand. We have to strengthen ourselves in the inner man. You know, when you read about the Chinese church, how they're able to endure and stand in the face of persecution and all, you know, we'll be going through some of these things we discuss in, I mean, the subsequent editions as God grants us the grace. And you realize there's an effort to build themselves up spiritually. The inner man is the main focus, building up seriously. And that is the secret to they standing in the midst of the persecution. People are tortured, people are, and it's like, oh, no, no, no. I mean, I was reading one church history material, and in one of the episodes, the persecution, the king was killing the Christians, persecuting them. At a point, he was in the palace and he saw a lot of Christians coming to the palace. We've come, kill us. We are ready to go to heaven. Not that they are running away. They've come. They want to go to heaven quick. So it's like they are not even running away. They've come. Easy way. Come. They've come. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Stability. Rooted like a tree, deep roots, grounded, stability in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the depth, the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let this be your prayer this evening, that will be filled fully in the fullness of God, that you grant us according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the spirit in the inner man. The verse 16, that's what, let's strengthen ourselves along these lines, and I believe God will help us and see us through. So God willing, next week you'll be coming your way again. Issues of Life, this will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and then the Telegram group as well. I'm Eben, and I believe you've been blessed this evening. Good night and God bless you.
Of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my